Praise the Lord. We serve an awesome God. We serve a good God. It's a blessing to be here this evening, even coming live to you in the house, even live over YouTube and media. If the world can have a silent virtual DJ concert, what can we do in the house of God and transmit across media? God is an awesome God. I give honor, of course, to our bishop and Sister Keys. I give honor, thankful for their ministry and their influence. And it was about 5 or 6 years ago. 5 or 6 years ago, as I break this device, let me get it. So 5 or 6 years ago, I was in a backslid condition. And the Lord wanted me to say tonight, I was in a coming home condition. We don't know who's out there and who's listening. And for those of us that have people on our mind, God wants you to know that there's those that we're not even thinking about, that we've forgotten about, that are coming home. And they're coming home in Jesus' name. They're coming home in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. And I'm thankful for, I was in a coming home condition and tuned in to Facebook or YouTube stream at the time. Thank you, Brother Tony, for being faithful in that ministry. And God moved on me, and I saw this interesting fellow with a shovel on the platform, running around with a shovel and talking about the goodness of the Lord, and it's time to keep building, and you're doing a good work. And God arrested my heart, and he awakened me and basically called me to the house of God. And that message moved me so much where I had to come to the house. I raced to the house of God that same day after that service, and I grabbed a shovel. And I'm so thankful for a pastor, Pastor Pinero and Sister Pinero and Sister Michaela, who are still digging for the kingdom and doing a good work. And I'm also thankful for my dad, who could be streaming in today. God bless my dad. I give him honor, and I thankful for him. In Jesus' name, if we can go to the word of the Lord in Psalms chapter 61, verse 5, starting at Psalm 61, verse 5, it says, "For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name." Heritage is the key word tonight. Heritage, it means inheritance or possession. In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll go to the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19, starting at verse 19, verses 19 through 22, it says, "Now," somebody say now. Look at your neighbor on the couch, say now. Those of you tuning in online, "Therefore ye," say that's me, "are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation," key word, "built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." I'm thankful for my Savior this evening, "in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your mercy and grace, God. Lord, speak to our hearts and to our minds, God. Speak to me, Lord. Minister to your people today, God, under the sound of my voice, God. Show yourself strong, Lord, for your glory, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. In Genesis 1 and 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The word for beginning there, it means it's reshith, which means the first in place, time, order, or rank. It means the first of its kind. It means, in other words, God, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation, created the heaven and the earth. There's only one Lord. There's only one God. In Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16, it says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." In other words, don't worry about it. Don't fret. Don't flee. In other words, you have a tried stone. How many of you are thankful that we've been able to count on a stone for the duration of our existence, our life, and especially over the last 18 months. And there's an interesting scripture that was drawn to. It's Deuteronomy 33 and 21. I didn't give this to the media team, but it says, you know, hey, you were talking about the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone of whom the building is built upon, Jesus Christ himself. It says Jesus Christ himself, and we read it tonight. But there's scripture in Deuteronomy 33 and 21 that says, because he chose the first part for himself. He chose the first part for himself. And so our heritage, our foundation, the church of the living God, the kingdom of God, it all starts and ends with Jesus Christ, our king and high priest, our advocate with the Father and great intercessor, our redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, he that stands in the firmament of power and glory, the Lord of lords and the Lord of hosts, el Señor de señores, el Señor de los ejércitos, our rock, our sword, our shield, the wheel in the middle of the wheel, our friend and great defender, our healer. Thank you, Lord, for being my healer, my provider and promise keeper. The Word in the beginning, he's the Word, because in John chapter 1:1, this is the book of John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh. In other words, the Word was made flesh in all humanity in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42, it says, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. There it is. It all starts and begins with our chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ himself, the rock. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Yeah. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 through 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must, key word there says, we must be saved, where we must be saved. I'm thankful for a life raft today in these times of darkness. I'm thankful that there's a name that we can call upon, the name Jesus, the name above all names, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, Emmanuel, which means God with us, wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the King of Glory, the King of Kings, Conqueror, the Captain of the Host, Mighty Warrior, the King of the Fight, Jesus, my healer, my defense, and my deliverer, Good Shepherd and Good Master, the Bright and Morning Star, the Eternal One, the All-Sufficient One, the Almighty, the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. The fairest of 10,000 in this book of Songs of Solomon is so beautiful. It says the fairest of 10,000. It says that he is a bundle of myrrh, a bundle of myrrh, a cluster of campfire in the vineyards of Engedi. And so you want to feel alive. You want to feel healthy and full of good sense, goodness. The word Engedi means a place alive, a place beautiful, healthy, and full of good aroma. In his presence, I come alive. His voice thunders with majesty and beauty. There's a reason I yearn for the prayer closet. There's a reason I yearn for his presence. His voice thunders. His love is 100% genuine. And I declare to the Central Coast, he is altogether lovely and so much better than the most vintage wine that we are surrounded by. He is my beloved, and my beloved is mine. And he brought me to the banqueting house, the word in Songs of Solomon chapter 2 verse 4, it says, he brought me to the banqueting house. It says, and his banner over me was love. He alone who commands the morning and that causes the day spring to know his place. He who is perfect in knowledge and mighty in strength. Jesus, the way, John 14 and 6 says, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. El camino, la verdad y la vida. Nor earth, nor seas, nor sun, nor stars. I like how this writer puts it. Nor earth, nor seas, nor sun, nor stars, nor heaven, his full resemblance bears. His beauties we can never trace till we behold him face to face. Says Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Praise God. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. I'm thankful that no matter the environment, society, the media, the influencers, the politicians and pontificators, doesn't matter who you are or who you think you are, someday they're gonna bow at the name of Jesus Christ. It says, all things shall bow at the name of Jesus. In Psalms chapter 148, in verse 13, it says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He's so high and lifted up, I cannot tell it all. Praise God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, there truly is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. How many believe that tonight? Y quiere decir solamente un fe, un señor, una fe y un baptismo. In Revelation chapter 5, we find our Lord and Savior, this almighty, the only one worthy to open the book, the Lamb and the Lion of Judah. The root, notice this, it says in Revelation chapter 22 and 16, it says, notice the key words there, the root and the offspring of David. It says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root. I am before David. I am the root before David. I came before David. Before Abraham was, I am. And so you notice here it says, I am the root and the offspring of David. And for those of us who've been in the church, this is not a tremendous revelation, but this is the foundation that there is but one God. He is the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. It's a revelation, a declaration. There is but one Lord and his name, one truly King over all. His dominion we cannot trace, sufficient in grace and mighty in authority and power. I'd like to draw our attention to Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, and then 18 through 20. And here we see Jesus returning in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region about. They had heard and they were listening and something was going on. And he taught in the synagogues. And this is the beginning of his ministry. It says he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, verse 16. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, teach a child the way he should go, and he shall not depart from it. Praise God. And as his custom was, oh, there it is. Jesus went to church. It was his custom to go to church. He went into the synagogue and on the Sabbath day stood up for to read. And here's the climactic point. Here's the pinnacle where all eyes were on him. And he quotes Isaiah, the prophet, who spoke about and prophesied about this anointed one. And here Jesus stands in the midst of all the people and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Doesn't matter if we believe in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter what the media is playing up. It doesn't matter. There is an acceptable year of the Lord. There is his faithfulness keeps me strong. Praise God. And here's verse 20. And here's a climactic point, and it's a powerful revelation. It's a tremendous point. He says in verse 20, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister after proclaiming, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I am the anointed one. It says, he closed the book. He gave it again to the minister. He gave it again to the minister and sat down. He gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They were fastened on him, as to say, what's going on? Did you see it? Did you notice what was happening here? Did you catch it? It's a striking revelation. It says it's an exciting and lasting invitation. Did you see it? He sat down and he passed the baton. He passed the book. He said, for whosoever will, who's going to rise up? Who's going to go for me? What can I offer unto the Lord? We sang it this evening. What can I offer as a sacrifice? Who's going to go for me? In other words, he sat down that we might be the next level. Praise God. Praise God. In Ephesians chapter 2, I draw our attention back to our open reading tonight. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, it says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. I'm talking to us tonight. I'm talking to myself. talking to those that are tuning in, perhaps for the first time. Perhaps it's been a while since you've plugged in. The Lord is reaching for you, saying, you are of the fellow citizen. You are of the household of God and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Praise God. Every believer, every sinner, every saint and new convert alike, every soldier and earthen vessel of grace and mercy and champion of faith from the Old Testament and New Testament into this and every generation following. Someday we're all going to see him face to face. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. I give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Speak to our hearts and to our minds, God. Be glorified. Be magnified. Key point I'd like to make tonight is behind us stand great men. We read it. And women of faith. We read it. The Lord has given us the heritage of those that fear his name, that fear him. He has given us something. He has given us the inheritance, the possession, the heritage of those that had turned the world upside down, of whom the world was not and is not worthy. Behind us, we read about it in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, behind us a great cloud of witnesses, but before us immeasurable importance and eternal consequence. That's why I love what pastor's preaching about. I forget those things which behind, but I press towards the mark, towards the prize of the high calling of Christ. We must forget those things and remember our heritage, but we must embrace it, carry it, and move into the next chapter, the next level of continuity and continuation. Hallelujah, Jesus. We cannot and must not overlook the Great Commission and the cause of the cross. For in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, here's everything. Here's the gospel. Here's the good news that we're supposed, here's what we're called to do. What can we offer as a sacrifice unto the Lord? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And here's some comfort for us in this hour. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are with us in these trying times, in these times of darkness, in these times of uncertainty, in these times of, are we going to go into another level of pandemic or another level of what's next? God is good and faithful, and I'm thankful. Anybody thankful that he's still with us? Hallelujah, Jesus. And but note verse 18, it says, Matthew 28, he says, go. But before he said, go, he said, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power, all power. Turn to your neighbor, wherever you may be tuning in today, and say, I've got it. Hallelujah. I've got it. There's no denying it. It's real. It's genuine. It's power. It's dunamis fire. It's the power of God. It's the power of miracles, signs, and wonders. It's healing. It's deliverance. It's revival. It's provision. It's vision. We are endued from power on high. We are an expression of God's love and divine intention. Intention. He has an intention, a purpose for each of us. Our equipping, the oil, and the anointing is an indicator of where God intends to take us. Get ready. Praise God. His promise is just as beautiful as the performance of his word. He's equipped us for an incredible journey. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, we haven't even begun to scratch the surface. It says, but as it is written. I love when they quote scripture. I love when they look back to our heritage and they quote scripture. It says, but as it is written, the eye had not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. We are freely and fully equipped with all things that pertain to life and godliness and called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Kingdom, 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 kingdom. We've sometimes overlooked the fact that it's faith and it's a faith walk and it's salvation and redemption, but we're called to the kingdom. Praise God. To be salt and light, to seek and to save, to make a difference and to pull souls out of the fire. Therefore, I don't know about you. I want to get up. I want to stand up. I want to be a witness. I want to be salt and light. I want to let my light shine. Praise God. In Acts chapter 26, it says in verse 16 through 18, it says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, into whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Praise God. We are in the transplanting business. We are inspired by and grafted. Let me bring it back to our main point tonight. We are inspired by and grafted into a rich heritage, a root system of apostolic and Pentecostal DNA. We are of the household and building of God. We are anointed and appointed, commissioned for this moment, positioned and built upon the rock, a church on the move. Our roots go deep and our future remains certain. Our path is established. This train is bound for glory. Amen. Praise God. In scripture, praise God, hallelujah, Jesus. In scripture, we find the greatest stories ever told, the greatest stories, an invitation, inspiration, and insight into those who have made a difference in the kingdom of God. The likes of Abraham, the father of many nations, the father of the faithful, Isaac, the child of promise and covenant, Rebecca, the water drawer, Noah, the ark builder, Jacob, the wrestler, Joseph, the dreamer, Moses, the friend of God and escapee. Praise God. How did you feel when you came out of the wilderness? Praise God. Praise God. Then there's Aaron, the mountain of strength, the high priest and shadow of things to come. Praise God. Jesus, God had a team. Praise God. Then there's Joshua. Bring our attention to Joshua. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, we see Joshua and we see a dead man walking. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. So here Moses turns and looks into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Very interesting. Joshua was a dead man walking. He refused to quit. He wasn't satisfied with someone else's experience. He was a thirsty soul. He hungered to see the face of God. He died to self. He died to the world. If anybody was going to hear God speak while Moses was turned into the camp, it was him. Lord, speak to me. Show me your glory. He was hungry and thirsty. He was sold out to an as for me attitude. He took ownership. He drank out of his own cistern. Joshua made his choice long before he asked others to make theirs. He felt comfortable in the place of sacrifice and stench of death to self. Death to the world. He was crucified to this world. The glory was there. The presence of God was there. The voice of God was there. It was a place of position and unction and powerful anointing. And he took, as the word says, pleasure in the house of God, pleasure in her stones, and favored the dust thereof. Let us move on to Rahab, the harlot and rescuer, and judges like Deborah, the heroine, leader of Israel, and prophetess. And then there's Ruth, the clinger and beauty of Boaz, who caught the attention of her kinsman redeemer, a woman of grace, virtue, and loyalty, breaking open perhaps our access as Gentiles to the promise of great redemption. Matriarchs of Obed, Jesse, and King David, and even Jesus Christ himself. The story of Ruth is the story of redemption. It shows us that there are no limits to an intentional relationship with God. There are no limits to a clinger. There are no limits to somebody who holds the coattails. Like Ruth, we can arrest the attention of God in this hour. We can arrest the attention of our kinsman redeemer. We can arrest his attention and his resource and his recourse and the power of the Spirit, the host power, hallelujah. And in this story, we find a reach for generational roots. It's a story of harvest and redemption. And Brother Morgan has talked about the fourth level, the four levels of harvest. And then Boaz. And so what's interesting is that Boaz didn't just reach and redeem the field in the name of Elimelech, but he reached for generational heritage, for the name and the field of Mahlon and Chilion. For he reached into the names of those that had moved into perhaps a backslid condition, into Moab, and who didn't get the chance to come back to the house of bread. And so what happens is here, when the kinsman redeemer Boaz redeems them in the presence of the person who had passed up the opportunity, he takes special care to redeem that generational heritage. Our heritage is eternal. It's truly multi-generational. The Lord has charged me tonight to tell you that he has given you. The Lord is speaking, saying, I have given you heritage. Talk to my people about heritage. Do not overlook the heritage that I have given you. If you want it, you can have it. If you want it, you can have it. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Throughout the word of God, we read about the weepers and warriors and worshipers and amazing, amazing heroes of faith, the likes of Shammah, the son of Agi, the defender of the pea patch, he who stood his ground, Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel. This is Old Testament. Praise God. If you dig into the word, you'll find gems of truth that will change your life. They will renew you with intense energy for a rigor and inspiration for life. The likes of Benaniah, who slew a valiant man of Kabzeel, and he slew lion-like men of Moab. He slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of snow. Who chases the snow? Who's a lion chaser unless you have a fire that consumes you? Who's a lion chaser unless you have a fire? And then we talk about this heritage. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Praise God. Praise God. They were stoned. They were sown asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. We are an elect people. We are a royal priesthood. We walk with light and salt. We do our best. We live for God. We try to be a light in a dark world. We're doing our best, trying to obtain a good report through faith. And here's the kicker in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. It says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We read it tonight. God has given us the heritage, and we've read it. We have built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And when you are built upon a foundation, you are the next level. We are called to be next level. We are called to be that next level. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Praise God. We must embrace our heritage and press towards the mark. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul asks Timothy to bring the only two things in the world that matter to him. If you want to understand why somebody walks a little bit different, why somebody doesn't partake in the party or in the lifestyle, that they've made a decision, they've died to self, they've crucified their flesh, they've tried, they are crucified with Christ, with Jesus Christ, and they've embraced their heritage and they press towards the mark. If you want insight into the reality of a walk in a consecrated life, we can look at Paul, who was beaten 5 times with 40 stripes save one. 5 times was he whipped, and just a tremendous, tremendous apostle and somebody who wrote most of the New Testament. And he says at his departure, he tells Timothy, his protege, he says, bring the only two things in the world that matter to him. And in verse 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, we find it. And he says, Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown, and I'll come back to crown, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Then in verse 13, he tells Timothy, the cloak that I left at Troas, perhaps the mantle, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring it with thee. And the books, especially the books, bring the books, but especially the parchments. And what he was referring to was the Old Testament. He is referring to the ancient landmark. He was referring to the heritage. Bring the heritage. We must not forget our past and heritage. We must look forward. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18 through 19, it says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. I believe it. Now it shall spring forth. Do it, Lord, now. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We are the continuation of the book of Acts. We are Acts chapter 29. And according to Haggai, the glory of this house is going to be greater than the former. How many of you believe that? If you believe that at home, turn to your neighbor. Shout. If you're shouting on the way home from work, shout into the atmosphere. Praise God. Thank God for our e-church. Thank God for our e-congregation. Hallelujah. God's going to bless you. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. And so, as I was preparing for this message, the Lord gave me this on February 17th, earlier this year. And I was preparing for that word at the time, nothing better, I believe. And I was preparing, and the Lord kind of drawed me, and he drew me, and he said, you know what, why don't you look in this book? There's something there I want to give you. And so this is from the Western District Camp Meeting book. Maybe some of you have it as well. I'm blessed to have it. It's Heritage. I hold in my hands Heritage. And so I was looking. I'm like, Lord, what's in here? I'm Azusa Street. You want me to talk about the fire? You want me to talk about Brother Paul Price or perhaps Brother Clyde Haney? Or do you want me to talk about the Bible camps and you know, the Heritage? And what do you want me to talk about here? And I read names like, you know, just tremendous names, Brother Wilson and Brother Kilgore and many others throughout the faith that are just talking about our apostolic heritage and, you know, from throughout California, the Western District and California and Nevada, and just reading and looking for, hey, Lord, what do you want me to kind of refer to here? And, you know, and I read about tremendous, tremendous preachers and apostles and prophets and teachers and ministers and people who've started daughter works and churches and things. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to find? And during my time of prayer in the garden, He felt his witness, and he said very clearly to me, he said, your name is not in the book. He said, your heritage is not in the book. He said, you're not in there. Where is my family name? Is there any Santos or Huitons that have broken ground on a new church plant? Where are the church planters or those in my family, young and old, who have seen 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, 40,000, 100,000 souls receive the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, on foreign and domestic soil, or those who have journeyed to the Holy Land? Has anyone in my family's tree started a Bible college? Where are the altar workers and those out cut from the cloth? Where are the weepers and the warriors, the disciple makers? Where are the wall builders, the clingers and the believers, the giant killers, the wrestlers with angels? Where are the preachers, prophets, and teachers of search for truth? Where is the ministry, the fivefold ministry, those that have seen angels? Where is it? And I look, and my name's not written in the book of the life. But you know how good our God is? He said, you know what? Your name may not be written in this book, but it's written in the Lamb's book of life. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And so I feel like the Lord has drawn me tonight to say, as our musicians come, I feel like the Lord has drawn us tonight to say, where are my volunteers? Where are the volunteers? Any volunteers? Where are the volunteers? You can have it if you want it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can have it if you want it. The first shall be last. And there's many that have come before us, but the last shall be first. Hallelujah. According to Matthew 20:16. And God's work done in God's way, in God's time, is always successful. Y él ocupó mi lugar para que yo pudo ocupar la de él. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29, it says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world, the foolish things. I may be quiet. I may be in a corner. Hallelujah, but Jesus is for me and not against me. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the things which are wise. And God has chosen this church, this generation, and the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Everybody under the sound of my voice. He has chosen the base things of the world, the things that are not in the limelight and the spotlight, the people who perhaps are struggling with depression and anxiety and darkness and demons and the challenges of life and negative attitudes and the struggle for provision and making a livelihood. God has chosen us, the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Hallelujah. Then I'd like to come back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And we remember reading that scripture about there's laid up here, the Apostle Paul saying, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord hath prepared for them that love him. And so my question to you, if God allowed a man like Saul, who wreaked havoc in the church, and part of the crowd that stoned Stephen, whose name means crown, his name means Stephanos, his name is Stephanos, which means crowned, to become Paul. He allowed Saul, who was there at the stoning of Stephen, who was crowned. He was a crown jewel of the early believers. And here we have the Apostle Paul who took him out. And if he's willing to give Paul a crown, for whom is laid up that crown of righteousness. It's not a royalty crown. Yes, we are kings and priests, but it's a crown incorruptible. It's the victor's crown. It's the victor's crown. What will he not do for you? And so my prayer tonight as we stand, my prayer tonight as I close, my prayer tonight, if you're hungry and you're thirsty, we can all say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be a part of that number. Lord, lead me and I'll follow. Lord, help me to be intensive and not extensive, because the night cometh when no man can work. Lord, we need your power and provision in this hour, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. And if you want it, you can have it. If you want it, you can have it. Receive ye your assignment tonight. Receive ye your assignment and war a good warfare in Jesus' name.